Ryan, I am so pumped to have you on the summit. There has been so many times I wanted to reach out to you, and there's so many different ways that we are connected through my speaker coach, who is your speaker coach, and a good friend, Brandon Schrader. So I'm just pumped to have you on the summit. So thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. I'm excited for the chat.
So. Yeah, I'm excited to just learn more about how you're pivoting and adjusting as well. So we're going to start with something fun. And what awesome. I'd love to hear is a fun fact about you.
A fun fact about me. Well, I grew up in the small little town called Aurora, Ohio. Both my parents were school teachers. And what's interesting about growing up in Aurora is that for many, many years, Aurora was the only seasonal SeaWorld in the world. So we had a seasonal theme park. I mean, Aurora's in Cleveland. So of course we have, so the park would close, but would open in the summer. And I actually worked there for 5 summers. That was my job through high school and college. So, yep. So that's a fun little fact and background about me. I don't know where the hell that came from, but it was on my mind. So yeah.
Probably something you haven't talked about for a while. Tell us a bit about what you do, and a keynote speaker is kind of your main gig, but I do so many other things. So just give us a little insight on how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, so my background is in advertising and communications. I started in sales and worked my way up in that organization. The last 4 or 5 years I was there, I was the chief sales and strategy officer. So, I was responsible for revenue in North America, about a $200 million agency. We're a division of a Fortune 500 company. So it was a big company, and it was a good gig. And as part of that job, I started speaking in the industry, really just as part of our marketing strategy to promote our business at trade conferences. But those were the days that I started to look forward to.
And nice, the times you were speaking.
Yeah, and I kind of fell in love with it. And, you know, I was always, you know, I mentioned both my parents were teachers. I was just always into learning, right? I was a student. So I got really into personal and professional growth early in my career. I mean, I've read everything that's ever been written about sales, listened to everything that's ever been recorded about sales. You know, I was one of those guys listening to books on takes Zig Ziglar, Dennis Watley, Tom Hopkins, Jim Rohn, all the, you know, the kind of the founding fathers of the motivational speaking, personal growth movement, and immerse myself into that. And it was instrumental in my success and growth in my career. And so as I started speaking, getting good at it, enjoying it, looking forward to it, getting asked to do it more, getting better at it, I started to study that industry, the learning and development industry. I wanted to learn about it, understand the opportunity. That was actually the time that I hired our mutual friend, Jane Atkinson, to provide a little guidance and insight. And then in January of 2009, in the middle of the Great Recession, I made my move and decided to launch. So it was a difficult time to launch a business, but it turned out to be the right decision for me, and I've never looked back.
Well, that's a cool perspective, I think, that you're bringing into this conversation, and we'll get to that at some point, just like how you made that transition in a recession. I think that people can feel the same way right now, right? There's so much change. I know some people have, you know, made a career shift, and now they're kind of in the middle of it. So
there's a lot. There's actually economically and professionally, there are a lot of parallels. Now that was every crisis is unique. We said, well, we've never been through this before. No, we haven't. We never had been through that one before either. Right. And we'd never been through 9/11 before. So, you know, each one of these kind of crisis situations, it's new and it's got its nuances, but there are some parallels economically between circumstances of 08, 09 and what we're dealing with today.
What's an example of one way that you see it very similar?
Well, it was so immediate, right? It was so abrupt and thrust upon us, you know, and I think it caught a lot of people off guard. I mean, let's face it, you know, our entire banking system and economy was caught off guard in 08, 09. I mean, we had these Fortune 500 companies, these banks, these institutions that were bankrupt. They were void of capital. They couldn't operate anymore without a government bailout. So there was just no anticipation, and the abrupt nature of that catastrophe, you know, was severe economically. I think 1 out of 6 people lost their job. So there wasn't a family that wasn't affected by it. So it really was a national crisis from that perspective. Now, this is a global crisis with some different circumstances, but from a professional perspective, I mean, companies fell off the radar screen, and it was layoffs and cost containment and business stopped. So, you know, we're feeling some of that now. And I think it forced people to make hard decisions. And similarly, it forced me to confront myself, you know, okay, I've got this stable job. Yes, we're going through some layoffs, but I'm probably going to get through that. But how do I want to spend the next 10 years of my life? Do I want to run a mediocre company sideways that's mapping headcount to revenue and is in cost containment? Or is this that moment where I chase a dream? And, you know, what's my runway? How much capital do I have? What sacrifices do I have to make? I'm going through that same playbook now.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody asked me yesterday, oh my gosh, like, you know, your live events, there's not going to be any live events this year.
Right.
Are you scared? And I said, no, I'm not scared. I've been through this before.
Nice.
And here I am, I'm at the same kitchen table, sitting in the same seat, you know, extending my runway. I was here in 09 and we did it. And in hindsight, that decision, I will tell you, I say this, was the best decision I ever made. The Great Recession was my greatest gift because it forced me to get uncomfortable, confront myself, and make hard decisions that if things were comfortable and I was complacent, right, I wouldn't have made. And so that push sometimes is the impetus we need to course correct things. And I think that's going to hold true. I think many people will look back at this moment as a defining moment and an inflection point to help them become more of who they're capable of being.
Ooh, boom, right there. So I want to kind of just point out a few things that you just said is like the Great Recession was your biggest gift. So you were able to look back and say, how did I grow through this? And right, that this is really helping us right now shift and pivot, and it's allowing us to really step into the best version of ourselves. I think just taking that perspective is a great mindset shift. And I like your perspective on the summit because you come from like sales and performance and reading all of the stuff like Zig Ziglar and studying that. So what I'd like to know, Ryan, is like, what do you think the high performance mindset is to you? Like, what does that idea even mean?
Yeah, so to me, a high performance mindset, it starts, there's a quote I love from Dr. Stephen Covey. It's like, begin with the end in mind, right? Yeah. And so I think what's so interesting is I think part of what's happening in this moment of pause and reset is people are starting to clear on their own definition of success. You know, you get off the treadmill, you step back and you look at, okay. And so the first thing I think that's, you know, specific to high performance is you have to have a target. You have to have a vision. You have to have a goal. If you're going to talk about success and performance, what are we aiming for? Yes. And I think what's cool about life is you get to decide and define that for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, for a while, it was one thing. I think I'm having a little bit of a reset right now.
Right.
But then it's the ability to summon your resources and your potential to move or accelerate toward that target, that which you dream of, deserve, desire. So to me, that, you know, that's the high performance and achiever's mindset. It's this determined, potentialized focusing of the best version of you and your resourcing toward the objective.
Yeah. Awesome. Best version of you. And what ideas do you have, or what are your thoughts about like, what role does mindset play in just our ability to deal with adversity and change? Because everybody is impacted by the situation. There's not a person in the world that hasn't been impacted. Some people are more impacted in different ways, right? And with our business, and I want to learn more about how your business has been impacted, but what role do you think
mindset plays? Well, mindset is everything.
Yeah.
Right. It's everything. So let's say it's 80% of success and performance. You have to have capacity and competency and some skills and resourcing, but those things can be learned and acquired. But our minds are so powerful. You probably know the neurology or neuroscience and research better than I do, but I think what our brains are programmed to have 60,000 plus thoughts a day. So our minds can move us all over the place. And we're confronted with this abrupt kind of change.
Yes.
And we're thrust into this new normal. It's disorienting and uncomfortable. And immediately it can produce these feelings of fear and anxiety, where these thoughts overwhelm us and they limit our capacity to be creative, think strategically, access the parts of our brain that actually we need the most now. So I will tell you, through this crisis, mindset and mindfulness practices is a big part of my routine and day, so I can stay on track and access what I need to navigate this effectively. So this is, if there ever was a moment for mindfulness and mindset attention, it is right now.
It's right now. Give us a sense of why you think mindset, is really important right now. I think you just said that.
Yeah, because I think this is a time that's requiring us to be creative, to adapt, to adjust, to think a little bit differently. And when we're overwhelmed, anxious, afraid, it's easy to start having horrible feelings about the future. I mean, it's easy to go into this downward spiral of anxiety, fear, and overwhelm. One of the questions I'm using to navigate this is, well, hey, are you making this decision from a place of love or a place of fear? What's driving that right now?
Yeah.
And just, you know, for a lot of businesses and small business owners, I know we're going to talk about this. It's been, by the way, it's not just small businesses. I just got off the phone with a Fortune 100 company. You think they aren't getting disrupted and having to pivot, and it's on a different scale, but their leadership is navigating a horrendous set of circumstances. Okay. So we're all being thrust into this. But here's the truth. The future hasn't happened yet. And you know, so the idea is to access the best of you in the present moment, right? You have a set of decisions. You have to navigate today with a vision toward where you want to be 2 months from now, 6 months from now, and accept the reality. These are the new circumstances. And I think there's something about this. It's like, hey, we're all in this together. Everyone's here. What am I going to resist it? No, I you know, radically and quickly accepted this. I adjusted our business plan based on this next normal immediately. I have no plan of doing a live event or speaking engagement for the remainder of this year. So we're up, you know. So I always say, assume the worst and then work for the best. Work for the best. So I have this assumption, and now we have a new operating plan and a budget based on current reality. And now we're working toward the best we can each and every day. And I think balancing those things takes the right mindset. So what meaning are you assigning to this? Oh, it's devastating. I don't know what's going to happen. It may not come back. What if it doesn't? You know, you can get lost in that sea of anxiety and assumption and confusion. And I can have CNN in the background all day and trigger myself constantly.
Exactly.
Or I can shut all that down.
Yeah.
You know, meditate, put on some beautiful music, and create my own future amid all of this. And in 5 years, I can look back and say, wow, you got that pause and you reinvented yourself and look what you made. And that's my mindset.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate what you just said is, like, when you live in fear, well, first of all, fear, the future hasn't happened, right? So when you're living in fear in the future, you can't be creative and strategic. And I think that's important, because during this time, if you're living there, and if you're watching CNN, we haven't watched the news, I don't know, 3 weeks. Because the first week we had it on all day, you know, and I just started paying attention to how I was feeling. And I was like, I can get the information that I need in a different way than having this on all the time right now.
And there it is. Like, I think that tip right there is golden. You know, you're a mindfulness coach. You probably do that automatically, but paying attention, like really being hyper aware to what's triggering you, what's making you feel a certain way. There was a night about a week ago, I worked really hard, and then I worked out, I was tired, and I made some dinner and had a glass of wine. And I just turned on, I wanted to see the news, what's going on, market, update, whatever. And instead of limiting that, I literally watched Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, and Don Lemon 3 hours of CNN. I just sat there and was just like this. And I kept watching the highlights and they were regurgitating it a different way. Dr. Fauci was on three times and then they were replaying the news briefing. And I, by the end of that, I was like in a panic attack. I had trouble sleeping that night. I woke up in the morning and I just said, okay, you did that.
Yes.
How did that make you feel?
Yeah.
And then, okay, have some awareness that that probably wasn't the best way to spend last night and do better today. Right. And I think this is time just a little bit of progress. We have to have patience. I'm not going to reinvent my whole business and be McKinsey in a week, but pay attention to the things that are working. Do more of that and less of the things that aren't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's just like to notice. Be compassionate with yourself too. That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, the next morning you're like, yeah, that wasn't such a great decision. That's okay. You know, these are really uncertain times. And I think not beating yourself up is so important. I've been really working to have some compassion with myself. I have to practice it.
Wow. You and I are a lot of, so I'm very hard on myself, probably the way I grew up. That was my formative years. And that can be a catalyst to push you, but I so agree. And so I'll even share a resource. It's not mine, but Krista Neff wrote a great book called, book on self-compassion. Yeah. I listened to it on Audible and okay. I do this, centering practice where when I'm doing that, oh, you wasted last night. You should have been doing that. Now this isn't done. And I just like stop, put my hand over my heart, close my eyes and take a breath and just say, this is hard. This is a moment of suffering. All humans suffer. Everyone in the world is suffering. You're doing the best you can. Just make a little bit of progress today. You don't have to compare yourself to anyone else. And just, I've learned to kind of coach myself through that because you're right. And man, the fact that I'm healthy, I can also go to gratitude very quickly. My mom's healthy, thank God. My family is healthy, thank God. I am. And so just right now, that's enough.
Yeah.
I'll build the future. That's enough right now.
Right. I have this grit practice I use in the morning. And it's G stands for gratitude. R stands for remember your why. I stands for intention. And T stands for like talk to yourself, right? Like how do I want to talk to myself today? But this morning I was like, I am grateful for a friend yesterday who I called who helped me through something tough. I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, my boys are home and I get to have dinner with them. I'm so grateful for my husband and how, hey, I can just go into the kitchen and he's right there working. Like,
gold.
I think we'll also look back at this time and say there was a lot of great things that came from this time, even though it's hard and people are sick and maybe you're sick or maybe someone close to you is sick. But I think like gratitude helps in so many different ways. So,
well, this is a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
That normal is beautiful. And there's so much joy in the simplicity. Life is people. And the quality of your life is dependent on the quality of the relationships you have with the people you love. You just said it. My boys, my husband's right over here. And I think there will be a reorienting to our deep appreciation for these simple, beautiful moments. A dinner with my mom. A walk down by the river with a friend, a workout at Core Power Yoga, these things we hurried through and took for granted,
right?
Checked the box because we had to get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's slowing down and reorienting ourselves to what really matters. And if that comes out of this long term, we will be a better society. I acknowledge the suffering.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's hard for me right now.
Yes.
But I think long-term, there can be a silver lining to this.
Yeah. And sometimes I think to myself, okay, how is this happening for me, not to me, right? It's a Katie Byron quote I really love. And I think, well, maybe this is really meant for, I mean, I'm a hustler, right? Like I go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. Just like, I think that's also why you and I are similar, that maybe the self-compassion is a little bit more difficult because you know, I have some goals I'm trying to reach, right? And it's also given me some time to take a step back and like, what's most important? And the work is that to me is after my family and those relationships that are most important to me. So a time to pause and reorientate ourselves to really what matters. Ryan, what would you say is like a top mindset tool that we can use at this moment? You've already given us so much, but what are your thoughts on like something that could really help us in this moment?
Well, I love, you know, I'm a big fan of routines and rituals, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the morning routine you're at, mine's a little bit different, but I think the morning routine you outline is beautiful. So I would say just a couple simple things that I'm using right now. Meditation. You know, I use the app Headspace.
Great.
They have a whole playbook of meditations for whatever you're going through: fear, anxiety, overwhelm, financial distress, sleeplessness. I mean, it's a great app. I'm also a big fan of Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's got some free meditation on iTunes. He has they're meditation, part meditation, part visualization, which is part of what I love about them. It's kind of, you know, orienting yourself toward this compelling vision of the future. The future is going to be better than the past. So he's got these 30-minute guided meditations, one for the morning, one for the evening. Those are great. And then, you know, the self-compassion, this just stillness, the breath work stuff, whether it's your hands on your heart, some deep breathing, journaling is another mindfulness practice. And then a thing that's just become real sacred for me during a period of time. I exercise an hour a day. I have not missed a workout. And I, just from stress and sitting all day trying to work, I need to get out, get that release, push myself, move my body, sweat. And that has been such a saving during this time. So those are a few of the things I'm
doing. Wonderful. Excellent. Great resources too for people to check out. Joe Dispenza. I really like his books and his writings. I have I have one or two behind me right there on like the most important shelves, right? And Kristen Neff's book, Self-Compassion, Headspace, great resources people can check out if they already haven't done so. Ryan, what do you think gets in the way of people developing a high performance mindset?
Fear. Yep. Yeah. I'm not going to be good enough. I don't know where to start. You know, we have these limiting beliefs, right? Which basically it's a misorientation of a future that hasn't happened yet based on recalling with probably lack of clarity past events. And you just, you know, that's what's great about mindfulness and some of the mindset stuff we're talking about. It drops you into the present moment. You realize that's all you have. And so it's being able to do that. So being able to be present to this moment and then having this vision of the future. And I think what's helped me too is then having some avatars. And what I mean by that are people you can point to and say, yeah, oh, they went on that journey and they did it and they went on that journey. And coaching helps with that because then you have someone that's supporting you and encouraging you and holding you accountable. And so look, I easily can get my mind off track. My mind always is racing. You know, I think really fast. I have ADHD. And so it's easy for me to get it off track. I use all of these tools simply because in the absence of them, I literally fall apart. I will procrastinate, get overwhelmed, get afraid, think I'm not good enough. Who am I to do this and say this and stand here and be in this portal and do this live meeting with you? And what if I say something wrong? You can overwhelm yourself. And so it's just getting centered, and that helps with your belief and getting organized. And so those are some of the things that I use that have helped me. But I think fear and fear of failure and fear of what other people think, those are some of our biggest barriers to becoming who we're meant to be.
True. Well said. I think about a couple of things there. First, like just the vulnerability of just sharing that with us, I think is really powerful. As you know, it's like, I feel similarly if I don't have these mindset tools and if I'm not really working on this every day, I can so get in my own way, overthink things, you know, think I don't deserve it. No one's going to watch this or whatever. When I get here, I'm like, man, this is amazing. Right. And then you start like realizing that it's not something that you need to believe.
You got to get out of your head. You got to get out of your, we will overthink ourselves into defeat. Yes. Because our brains, you know this, I mean, our brains are wired that way. I mean, our brains are designed to protect us, to keep us safe from a threat. And the brain perceives something that's unknown, unfamiliar at first as a threat. So you almost have to go through this conditioning to confront the unknown. So I would say, got to get out of your head and into your heart. So what are the things that put you in your heart space, right? Love versus fear. Where am I making this decision from? And if you actually, when you said it, you put your hand right here. You say, I want to make decisions from here, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Into your heart, into your body, and make decisions from that place of love. That's where your growth is going to come from. So
give us a sense, Ryan. Like I've heard, and before we started recording the call, I heard you talk a lot about like how you are pivoting yourself and your business. And I'd love just to learn more about that. Sure. Because I think that will help so many people who's listening right now, either live or doing this on Facebook, and people are giving us some hearts, by the way.
good.
One person said great stuff, you know, so people are watching. But give us a sense of like, I heard that you quickly adapted and adjusted. You know, so tell us a little bit about like first, maybe the business decisions you're making, and then we'll talk about the mindset stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, a big part of my business is keynote speaking. So last year, just as a benchmark, I delivered 80 live events. And so those live events are predominantly a keynote speech or a half day or full day seminar workshop on sales or leadership. And I'm doing that all over the United States. And actually we had a few in Europe for large organizations or trade shows at their conferences. So that is a primary revenue stream for me. And we had events booked out for the entire year. I mean, I was supposed to deliver 11, 12 events in March. That is all being unwound, right? Yeah. So a big part of my last month was having the conversations. That's all coming down, right? So what do the customers want to do? Are we rescheduling? And immediately while we were doing that, we wanted to offer solutions. You know, do you want to connect with your people? Do you want to deliver a message? As you hit the reset button, I actually believe this is a time now where people need more communication, connection, and community from their corporations, yes. Right? So we wanted to offer some virtual solutions. So we immediately put resourcing and partnerships in place to offer our content virtually. And the way I look at it is this. Keynote speaking was part of my business, but I'm not a keynote speaker by trade. I'm a sales and leadership expert that right. provides value to my customers so that they can move their business forward. The yeah. need for that hasn't changed. Yeah. We are just in a temporary moment of pause where the delivery mechanism has to change. So we quickly pivoted into offering some virtual resourcing, and we have partnerships to do that at a very significant level. So we could actually take a client's whole two-day sales conference and manage that virtually through a partnership that we quickly forged here. Additionally, I'm doubling up on all of my content creation virtually. So I want to maintain a presence, and I have no gate around that. I'm not charging for any of that. I'm actually investing in it. I'm spending money. We had a video team out here and we were safe social distancing and they were all masked up and gloved up. But you know, I was creating content and filming the last 2 days because we want to put more of that and support our community through this time. And then the third part of it's been interesting. You know, we've had some customers reach out to us and kind of describe their anticipated need through this period of time. And that is helping us evolve our business model. So one of my great theories is you should evolve or iterate your business in lockstep with your customers. If you listen closely or you ask intelligently, your customers will tell you what they need from you and take you where you want to go. And just this morning, we had one of our biggest clients. They got on and said, look, we were thinking about you. This is what we need. And we want to talk to you about packaging up some services and supporting us through this time. Well, our delivery mechanism there will be transferable to other clients. So we're evolving our business and extending the impact we can have that was typically delivered in a live event to, I think, what are going to be longer and deeper client engagements and partnerships virtually through thought leadership and on an advisory level. And that may not be right for every customer, but it's going to be right for some. And I already know this. Coming out of this 12, 18 months, I'm going to have a better business.
You're going to have a better business.
I'm going to have a better business.
And that's what I heard you say at the beginning. That's a really important perspective is like when you can adjust and pivot, right? You're seeing that, wow, in a year, in 2 years, I'm going to have a better business. My business is going to evolve and maybe even have a more like a bigger or robust business because of this. I think that's a great perspective that a lot of people can get stuck. They're stuck in fear and anxiety and they can't see the possibility and they can't be creative or strategic during this time.
So there's a couple ways to kind of get through that. So you have to balance what's required in the moment in the very near term versus what you desire or covet in the long term.
Okay.
So if you think about there is today, there are the next 5 or 10 days, I have to make, as a CEO and business owner, some very strategic, maybe difficult near-term decisions. That's real. I have to analyze my cash flow. Yeah. I have to make realistic projections about adjusting my budget, yes, right? You know, for the remainder of this year and into next year. I have to absorb information and then make some conclusions about what's realistic for our business returning back to some semblance of normal. Are we rescheduling these events? Are they getting canceled? What do I do with my team? Is, you know, do I need the team I had 6 months ago? All of those decisions and I have to deal with that short-term reality that's real, and I have to navigate that and be present to that. But then I can also look out and I can say, well, who do I want to be on June 1st, right? And part of what I say is, I want to be, my brand through this time is going to be one of service. We're going to help people navigate this. And I want to be proud of the decisions I'm making today, 6 months from now, love versus fear, right? But I also know we'll blink our eyes and it's going to be January 1st. And then it's going to be April 1st. And business, you know, and what kind of business do I want to have then? Mm-hmm. And that, the answer to that, this moment of pause is saying, do I want to go back to that? You know, maybe 80 keynotes and 130 days in hotel rooms isn't the lifestyle or the model that I'm going to have a year from now. And that actually excites me.
Yeah, you know,
it's a time where I can build something different and I can do it with the support of my best clients. And that is a gift, even though this week is hard.
Yes.
Long-term, I think there's a silver lining to that.
Yeah. I appreciate your perspective because I know as people are listening, they're thinking about themselves or maybe somebody else that they love, right? Who's going through the same thing, and being able to see the long-term gains, I think, in this time is so important. Give us a sense, Ryan, like how you have, what mindset have you been using, or like, did you get stuck at a certain point in the last couple, 3 weeks as you've been pivoting on this? Like, give us a little insight on what you've been doing here to make that shift. Because for some people, that might be a pretty quick shift, you know, feels like overnight sometimes.
Yeah, I think a couple of things that could help. So we were thrust into this. I mean, there was a week or two of shock. I call it reaction bias. You know, I was like, oh, this is the flu, it'll be fine. Oh, this is, people are overreacting. Sure. because that's what I wanted it to be, right? And I didn't want to confront reality of shutting down the world's economy for 6 months and not having a live event until 2021. I didn't want that to be real. And so we exist in denial. And I think some people still are, frankly. You know, it's this kind of, you know, overly optimistic, oh, you know, by summer it'll be better, you know. Then it's confronting reality. Jim Collins, confront the brutal facts. Okay, these are the facts. They are undisputed. This is what's happening. What do you want to do in it? And then you start to make decisions from a place of reality. And you know, there's uncertainty in this. I mean, we have to make assumptions. So you model out a couple different scenarios. But then what's helped me, honestly, a couple of things. You know, if I project out and say, what do I want my life to look like in 2 years? Yeah. What changes could I make to create the future that I want? I'm almost in a way, it's like, you know, I wouldn't have jumped off that treadmill this year. I would have gone back out and done the 80 events and not had this moment of pause to assess this in my life. And then another year would have passed. So here I am, reorienting myself to what matters, making new meaningful connections, you know, teaching my mom how to do FaceTime so we can have a glass of wine and look at each other, talking to my biggest client about a better partnership over the next 12 months. Oh my gosh, what a gift. Right. If I'm healthy everything can happen for me. And is it hard? Yes. Is this going to cost me a lot of money short term? Yes. All of those things, but that's okay. Like, you have to put it in the proper perspective. Last thing that's helped me big. Okay. When my mindset falls off, which it does, all I have to do is turn on CNN for more than my allotted 10 minutes a day and I'll lose my mind. I have something I call my personal board of directors, right? My PBOD. Nice. Right? There's 8-9 people that I've asked to be strategic advisors on my business journey. And I hand selected them because I admire them, respect them, and because they have a specific skill set or expertise that I don't necessarily have. And I have maintained close connection. I've talked to at least one of my advisors every day since this started. And, you know, when I start to slip a little bit, their willingness and ability to say, whoa, wait a minute, think of it this way, or look at this, you know, to see the silver lining, they'll pull me back into that place. And so that's where I need to stay, because that's who I am. And if I'm going to shine my light and be a light for others to get us through this darkness, then I have to stay on track. But when I'm off track, I've surrounded myself with people that will quickly pull me back on track. And my business manager, Lynn, who we work together very closely every day, you know, she's the ultimate optimist and the ultimate we can do this person. And so I've got people around me that when I feel weak and I'm slipping, they'll pick me back up. And that's been, you know, whether that's your family, your friends, your advisory board, your business partners, we all need a little help right now. And so
yeah,
that's been
awesome. Huge. We got some hearts on that on Facebook Live, Ryan. Mm-hmm. People like good. That.
We're all in this together. And exactly. You know, as hard as this is, that's one of the, you know, we've never been through this before. That's right. It's a unique, this crisis is unique. But one of the things that I think is unique about it is we're all going through, this isn't your crisis. It's right. Not my crisis. It's right. Not the country's crisis. Yeah. It's not that business's crisis. It's the, you know, we're all going through our version of this reset. And so everybody can identify with whatever your unique challenge is. Don't be afraid to reach out, ask for help. I've had to ask for help. I said, I mean, I need a little support around this. And I think everybody's pitching in where they can. And that's what's beautiful about this.
Yeah.
We'll get through it.
Give us a sense on who your board of directors are. Are they like your friends? Are they people in different types of businesses that they could, you know, help steer you?
They are. So I would say they were people selected in my first tier network, right? So some of them are close friends. So I have an expert in finance and somebody that does a lot of venture investing that just understands a component of business I'm not an expert in. I have a tech startup entrepreneur on that advisory board. So he's scaled businesses, really understands technology. His advice has been invaluable. I have our business partner for research. He's become a good personal friend of mine, but he does all of our proprietary research. We've done some co-writing together.
Wonderful.
He scaled a business and had a great exit. So he's been my business manager, Lynn, I mentioned. And then I have a therapist and a spiritual advisor on there. So, you know, so I'm getting well-rounded advice. So yeah, I have another keynote speaker who's become a good friend, and you know, we're bouncing ideas off each other because he's immersed in it with me. And so it's a group of people. They're rounding out my competency and knowledge. They come at it from a bit of a different, I have somebody on there who's a client, voice of the customer. So if I'm coming up with something new or I have an idea, I get to bounce it off him. Hey, how do you react to this? Would you buy this? Where are you investing in development here? And so I get that perspective. So yeah, that's kind of how I assembled it. And look, that could grow or change. Right now I don't compensate them. It's like free beer at happy hour or something.
Right.
but I've formalized it and they've given me access to their thinking, which is a huge advantage.
I think what I appreciate, just like how you gave that details, is because I'm thinking of, okay, what would my board of directors look mm-hmm. like? And as people are listening, I'm hopeful that's what they're thinking about as well. So Ryan, just a couple of questions I have and then we can wrap up. Can you tell us a story of a business or a person or a team that has mastered their mindset or just use their mindset to be at their best? And it could be example, like during this time period, or it could be just maybe an example from a keynote that you might do. Maybe it's your own personal example too. Could be that too.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to give this company a shout out. It's a great question. I've never really told this story. So, but I gave a keynote a few months ago in Idaho to a home building company, CBH Homes, and their CEO, Rhonda Conger. She is just one of the most inspirational leaders I've ever been around. So I knew, I got on site. We were in Sun Valley, Idaho, in this beautiful resort. And I came down for my sound check at 7 a.m. And the meeting was starting at 8:30. I was going to go on at 9:30. So I was getting coffee. I met her for the first time. You know, she walks up, gives me a big hug, says, thank you for coming. Everyone's so excited. It was great. And she said, hey, we're going to meditate for 30 minutes after breakfast, if you'd like to join us. I was immediately like, what? She's like, oh, we start all our conferences off with meditation. Wow. and a gratitude practice. And, so, you know, they meditate for 30 minutes, they come in the room, and then the meeting starts and people go around and they hugged 10 other people and looked each other in the eyes and said, I'm really grateful you're here. And I'm watching all this. People are coming up and hugging me. I'm a little uncomfortable. And then I sit down in my seat and there are these 10 little cards. They say gratitude on the front, little note cards, and they're empty with 10 envelopes. And then she talks about over the course of the day, you know, you're gonna look for opportunities to be grateful for some of the other people here. And when you see one of those, when that experience comes up, you know, you're gonna write the note. And so I'm watching all of this unfold and experiencing it as one of their team members for a day, right?
Right.
And so I get up and I give my talk, and you know, I said I stayed through lunch, and you know, by the time I sat back down, there were 10 completed gratitude envelopes at my place, and people wrote down things I said and reflections. So I carry those. I have them in my backpack. Amazing. Because I was so impacted by this. And it's just her philosophy. You know, she leads from a place of love, and she calls it talking about the L word at work. And
that's, you know, great.
She loves her people. She loves her customers. She's a people first, profit second leader. She takes care of her team. They take care of her, and in turn, they take care of the customer. And no surprise, they're one of the best places to work in the state. You know, they're having incredible success growing the business. And I was just so inspired by that experience and stayed with me. So we've actually interviewed her, and we're writing about her on our blog. The post will come out sometime in the next few weeks. And so stay tuned for that. And we'll go into a lot more detail on her unique story and approach. That was one example.
I can't wait to read about it and how she adopted that. I like the idea of like talking about the L word at work, and how I think that's really important. Like I think about with sports teams and coaches, I talk about like loving your people, right? And people, I think, sometimes get weird about that word love, but it doesn't mean romantic love.
No.
It's like really caring for the people that you serve. So
yeah, she's all in. That was a pretty cool story.
What is a specific lesson you are learning from this time period of COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's slowing down. You know, it's just really getting off the treadmill, and you know, just the value of simplicity. And I miss speaking at live events and the energy that gives. But I'll tell you what I don't miss is, you know, connecting flights and hotel rooms at 11 at night and Uber. And, you know, when I think about my life, I was literally living at least a third, or between a third and half of my life, alone in hotel rooms. And that is a massive sacrifice to make with your time. And so maybe examining that a little more closely and saying, hey, slowing down, the simple life is the good life. What's important and what are you chasing? And, you know, where do you want to take this over the next 10 years? I'm grateful for that. So
wonderful. What a great way to end our conversation today. So I tried to take a few notes. They're kind of sloppy. So we'll see if I can do my best to summarize. But I liked your definition of high performance mindset and just like stepping into the best version of yourself. I thought that was really powerful. And maybe this is a time for you to reset, right? What is your definition of success, and a time to reflect and make decisions to help you pivot. And I like the idea of like thinking long-term, what kind of person do I want to be in 2 years, or where do I want my business to be in 2 years? Look at that as a benchmark and compare that to the decisions you're making right now. But this idea of reinventing yourself, I thought was really powerful. What one thing I'm seeing in you is like reinventing yourself. And I think for so many people, that's important right now because their businesses are taking a big shift. And then the last point about taking care of yourself, I appreciated hearing about like your specific rituals and routines and mindful practices and how you show yourself compassion. I think we can all do that more often right now. So Brian, how can we follow you? I know you're at RyanEstes.com. Yeah. Is that where you can find your blog?
Yeah, RyanEstes.com. The blog and the resources are on there. And I think links to most of our social media. We're pretty active on LinkedIn and Instagram are good places to connect. And we're putting out content on through those channels regularly. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.